Friends, the scripture reading for this night you can find in the last book of the Bible, the book, the Revelation of John, chapter 1, verse 9 to 19, and chapter 4. So the reading of God's word is Revelation 1, verse 9 to 19, and Revelation 4. The word of the Lord. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And who thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And I turned and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt with peps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white, like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters, and in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was the sun shined in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Chapter 4, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that was set was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was there a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying angel. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, and saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Thus far the reading of God's word. Congregation, unlike this beautiful day as we have today, there are times here in Western Michigan that we have days of overcast weather. No sun, but seemingly unending clouds. And then sometimes unexpectedly there is an opening in a cloudy sky. The beams of light comes through. Maybe you remember those days. And so it can be in our lives as well. Seasons of overcast, clouds formed by the circumstances in life, ways in life that you never expected. Maybe having wayward children, that they make choices in life, but you know they are not according to God's word. Or that there are marriage strains. At the beginning was so different, but now. Or that you have a cross in life, maybe silent crosses, clouds, overcast, cares that you have brought into church even this night. And then maybe not expected when you came to church, after this, a door was opened in heaven. That is the living word of the living God to all of us, giving us to see an open door in heaven. Friends, do we not need a fresh experience of that? Amid the personal trials and testing, you begin to understand the apostle, chapter 1, a companion in tribulation. Yeah, he's not the only one. At the beginning of another week, as the apostle says, chapter 1, the Lord's Day. Whatever cross or circumstances that you have brought in life or your family life and you have carried into this sanctuary, after this, but for a moment to pause and to look away by grace from your circumstances, your cares and concerns, to look away from yourself and behold and see and take note and look to Christ. A door was opened in heaven. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you this evening on these words as we find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1. And meditate with you three brief main points arising from this chapter about an open door, why we need it, what is seen, and how it should transform us. As young people, an open door, why we need it, what is seen, and how it should transform us. Congregation, the after this of chapter 4 follows this chapter 1, 2, and 3, in which the apostle relates what he experienced, in which our senses are fully engaged of hearing, of seeing of an encountering. I hear a great voice, chapter 1, that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. A voice, a sound produced, resonate, and powerful joy, voice as a trumpet, a war trumpet, the same voice as of a trumpet in our text chapter, verse 1. And that voice is speaking to me as the first cause and the ultimate purpose of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. This reassuring word of the Lord in the midst of tribulation, trials and testings of life, in a society in which Christians are less and less tolerated, and not only in the days of John. I hear the Lord speaking. Do you listen? I see him, the Son of Man, in the midst of the candlesticks, in the midst of the churches of this world. And I see him majestically, clothed with a long robe, hairs like white as snow, eyes like flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze, his voice a roar of many waters, from his mouth a sharp two-edged sword, his face like the sun as today, shining in full strength. And when the Lord comes to us this night through his word, this overwhelming experience, meeting Christ in his glory, he speaks to me with a great voice, with a voice that is greater than all the noises in my life and the noises of this world. And he sees me to the very core of my being, who I am, who I really am. And he stands before me in the apparel of his word, and he shines on me from his sanctuary to this sanctuary, on me. Meeting Christ in this way, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Would you not? Seeing his glory in such a contrast of who I am before him. For we all have sinned. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet he comes to us this night in his grace. And we have read it from chapter 1. And he laid his right hand upon me. And he says to his child, fear not. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am him who lives and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. To experience, I deserve death, but live. Because he was dead and is alive, the living Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, prays for each of his children. Even now, whatever you have brought into church, are you not overwhelmed by his glory, by his grace? This fresh experience, whatever my circumstances in life, but it pleases him tonight to speak to you. And at times I don't have words to speak anymore. At times that I even cannot pray anymore. But he speaks to me tonight. And he sees me better than I see myself, than I know myself, know precisely my cares, what I've brought in tonight into church, my concerns. And maybe you walk around day in, day out, and it seems no one hears. But he sees me. And he stands before me, encountering, meets me exactly where I am in life. And he shines upon me through his word. Is that not amazing grace, friends? After this, that is also after chapter 2 and 3. Hearing the Lord's assessment of the church in a non-Christian time, a plural society, hearing about the condition of the church, Ephesus, the church that has abandoned its love for Christ and his teaching, Smyrna, the church that remains faithful amidst persecution, Pergamon, the church that compromised its beliefs, Thyatira, the church that follows false prophets, Sardis, a church that is spiritual dead, Philadelphia, the church that patiently endured despite weaknesses, and Laodicea, a church with a lukewarm faith. Congregation, individually or collectively, what is now the Lord's assessment of you and me this evening? Left your first love? Can happen. Even having received a place at the Lord's table last week. Your first love for the Lord because he loved you first. Maybe it is a long time ago. But friends, how is it now in your life? Your love for him. Spiritual debt? That can happen. Yeah, but we are HRC Christians. No. Spirit can happen when you come to church, Sunday after church, Sunday. But spiritually dead. And then a lukewarm faith. Complacent in your faith during times of abundance. Lukewarm. Do you see your need? Do you see your need? Be honest tonight. A fresh experience is needed, friends, whatever my circumstances of life, whatever spiritual condition you are in, a fresh experience. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. In the midst of the hearing of the Lord's piercing assessment of your and my life, in the midst of what is going on in this world and in my life, when sometimes seems that the whole world is closing in on me, surrounding outwardly with many challenges of the conflicts of this world in our country, where many, and I mentioned it in prayer, particularly our young people, live in anxiety and fear and worries and struggles. Where we as parents, and be honest tonight, where we as parents don't have sometimes the answers anymore, living in a post-Christian time. Surrounded inwardly, maybe by personal challenges in my life of faith, times of doubts and times of temptation, my life as a Christian by grace, living post-communion, receive a place at the Lord's table last night. But now, behold, an open door. Amazing wonder, eh? Is it not? A door that is open in heaven. That is to be lifted up for a moment above the circumstances of my life, my struggles, my wrestlings, my trials that I go through. Maybe that silent cross at the beginning of this week. The scenes of the earth, the scenes of earth's troubles and personal trials will be always be discouraging. But this amazing wonder of grace, there is a open door in heaven. There is this open standing door. The way into the presence of God lies open. Yes, and this door resonates with another vision that you can find in Ezekiel 1. The heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Or when Jesus was baptized, where it was heard, behold, the heavens were opened to him, in which an utter voice was heard, this is my beloved son. But friends, it's not in particular, the author of the Hebrews reminds us to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us. When it was Christ on the cross who opened the veil of the temple, was rent open because of his sacrifice. It signified the end of all animal sacrifices. Because of that ultimate sacrifice, once and for all, Jesus Christ had been sacrificed and opened a way. An open access, a new and living way. And that, for such one as I am in myself, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It is that this open door proclaims, as it is now proclaimed, with the words of an hymn writer of old, oh, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O friend, now believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fail. Christ has redeemed his children. Once for all. Friends, nothing can be added. Nothing has to be added. It has been freely prepared. And it must be freely received. And it is Christ who meets your every need. In the midst of tribulation, trial and testing, every need, despite who you and I have been, this door is open and stands open, wide open, even now. That is needed to be seen. That the beam of light, opening in the overcast clouds of your life. Our second point, what is then seen? What is seen? Or better, with the words of Revelation 4 verse 1, and I, says the Alpha and Omega, I will show you. I will let you see things which must be hereafter. Because congregation, otherwise we will see nothing. Every time we open God's word, it is personally or in family devotion, it is I looked, but remember, the Lord says, I will show you. And here, friends, we come on holy ground, holy heavenly view. Behold, verse 2, take note. I see a throne in heaven. In fact, young people, when you want to check this evening, in this chapter we read 12 times the word throne in this chapter. And I see a throne set that is certain and secure in the midst of uncertainty and insecurity of life circumstances. And I see one who sat on the throne. That is also certain and secure. Who he is? Well, like a jasper stone, white, symbolizing his holiness. Like a sardine stone, red, symbolizing his forgiveness. And around the throne, like emerald green, symbolizing his hope and faithfulness. Do you see him in his holiness? Over against my unholiness, in his forgiveness, over against my sin and shortcomings, in his faithfulness, over against my unfaithfulness, who he is he not seen as he is seen in chapter 5, I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, stood the lamb as it has been slain. This lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. This lamb of which Isaiah said, he was oppressed and was afflicted and opened not his mouth. and was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And that for who? All we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone here tonight to his own way. This lamb, whom the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This lamb, who made his soul an offering for sin. This lamb, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. This lamb, who has borne our grief, says the prophet, and carried our sorrows. This lamb, friends, who has borne your griefs, the grief that you're going through now, and he has carried your sorrow. Maybe this sorrow over that wayward child, that sorrow in your life, when your life took a turn you did not expect. Then it is he who is seen, of whom John the Baptist proclaims, as he is now proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, takes away your sin through his blood that cleanses from all your sin. Of as the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1, but by the precious blood has it become precious. Friends, be honest tonight. We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. You have seen it this week. One tropical storm. How many death? Not prepared sometimes. The precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. But, and that is the grace also tonight, was manifest in the last times. And then says the apostle, for the sake of you. For the sake of you. To see and to be lifted up and know before the throne of grace above. I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love. Who ever lives and pleads for me. My name. Is graven in his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Friends, to whom else shall you go? To whom else shall you then go? Than to the throne of grace, to Christ and him alone. To know your wants shall be supplied for Christ's sake. As Jonathan Edwards once wrote, because it is a throne of grace. Then he writes, suppose I come to the throne of grace with the burdens of my sin. There is one on the throne who felt the burden of sin in ages long gone by and has not forgotten its weight. Suppose I come loaded with sorrow. There is one there now who knows all the sorrows to which we can be subjected. Am I depressed or distressed? Do I fear that God himself has forsaken me? There is one. There is one on that throne who once said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is a throne from which grace delights to look upon the miseries of us with tender eyes. Consider them and relieve them. Open them and look on high and see a door open and see him on the throne, Christ, whose children are not out of his view. Friends, when you grasp that for a moment, will you not join the elders and sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing, be unto him that sits on the throne even now, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Then it is Christ himself who is shown here to us, revealed to you, the King in his glory, this holy, heavenly, glorious Christ who was dead and is alive. Oh, see him in his beauty, rich and valuable in every way, symbolized by the precious stone, verse 3. See him in his grace and faithfulness, symbolized by the rainbow, covenant faithfulness. And he is seen and he's shown to me. What an undeserved privilege. And I see him in his victorious presence, dwelling with his old and new covenant people, verse 4. And I see his fearful, judging and righteous power, lightnings and thunders, verse 5, like Mount Sinai. Do you know for whom? For those that live outside Christ, spiritual death, no need of him. He is a consuming fire. Oh, bow down before him tonight. Kiss the Son. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. As he shines out in the witness of his church through his spirit, the seven lamps and seven spirits, verse 5. This king, who is attended by servants, representing all power and wisdom of heaven and earth, as is seen in verse 6 and 7. What a glorious king. What a glorious king. Of which is said in verse 8, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Then we see those four beasts, literally the living ones, with six wings, a reminder of the angel of Isaiah 6 that speaks in adoration, holy, holy, holy. Her language is pushing itself the limits of usefulness here, expressing the depth and the intensity of the blazing holiness. Holiness elevated to the third degree. Only once in Scripture is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. The Bible never says God is love, 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 or God is mercy, 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 or God is wrath, 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 or not even merely holy. But it says here, he is holy, holy, holy. And on the sound of death, do you not fall down before him? And before him that sit on the throne and worship him? That is what happens when you encounter him. When he shows you who he is. And shows you who you are in yourself. Young people, young adults, God is real. God is real. Have you learned this by grace, experienced it by grace, or do you still go your own way? There is no beauty in him for you. You are content by yourself. Church going, morally upright, but never, never you have seen your brokenness and your sin. Oh, I urge you. I urge you as an ambassador of this glorious Christ, this Savior, this substitute, who has given him freely, who sees you and speaks to you now. I urge you, turn to him now. Don't delay. Don't despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Do you not know that it is the goodness of the Lord, his loving kindness, that leads to repentance? All the ones to learn more and experience his loving and kind grace. As Horatius Bonar once wrote, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tossed and tempest heart. You hear? Do you hear? And stills the tossed and tempest heart. Maybe that is for you here tonight who struggle. Maybe it's the cry of your heart. Oh Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But then to be lifted up for a moment above your struggles, circumstances of life, and look undeserved to this open door and see your King. This fresh experience, not God as a theological concept, but a living reality, a new understanding of a living God and a holy God, the holiness of God, the faithful and covenant-keeping Christ, the forgiving God in Christ, a taste of the overwhelming majesty of God, the one who is glorious, where there is no glory in myself, who is almighty, and there is no strength in myself, who is holy, 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 and that over against my unholiness. And that, and only because of that, because of Christ the living one, who has given us an open door, who gives you to see the King in his glory, that is encountered here. A radical beauty, majesty, infinitely holy and glory of the Lord. And overwhelmed by this heavenly vision, what this Lamb has done for such one as you are, who is holy, who is faithful and forgiving, friends, it reprioritizes your life. A reorientation takes place, a redirection from myself to God and Him alone. That is what the elders do here in verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshipped him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne and say, Thou art worthy. Should this vision of an open door, even now, Christ in his glory, not transform you as well? Is he that not worthy? Is he that not worthy? Our worship, let us bring and sing by grace. Yea, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker and our King. Friends, our third point. How this open door, how Christ on the throne should transform us, which is pointed out particularly in the verses 8 to 11. Because of this heavenly worship in which the angels and men are called to serve the King on the throne, Christ, it is a model for earthly worship and service, or to be imitated by grace by us for Christ's sake. At first, do we not ought to praise God continuously and unceasingly? At verse 8, and they rest not day and night. Like the angels in Isaiah 6 with their six wings, they cover their faith, showing reverence. Is it shown in your life? Cover their feet, showing humility. Is it seen in your life? And they did fly, showing their immediate availability and willingness to serve. Friends, do we have by grace this servant attitude? Having this fruit in our life, shaped by the radical call of the gospel to be served by Jesus as we serve others. In such a way, your service is not a kind of a patch for morality, but it is Christ-centered and dependent, serving generously and sacrificially. And Heidelberg Catechism said, so that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. So whatever your vocation the Lord has called you, We do that willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. How are we doing, congregation? How are we doing? Praise God for who He is, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God for who He is in Christ. He is it so worthy. So worthy. Yes, even in times of discouragement and disappointments in life, and then still to see He provides so much more than I deserve. How are we doing? Secondly, do we glory in God's sovereignty and His sovereign power? And verse 8, Lord God Almighty. That points to He rules and reigns this world. Even in the midst of the wars of this world, He rules and reigns the life of each of His children. Is that a comfort for you? Despite my fallings and my flaws, despite your sin and shortcomings, but for Christ's sake, discomfort, even in times of testing and suffering, He, the Lord God Almighty, directs my life. From the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and everything that is in between, to leave God in His sovereign dealings. Even at times, I don't understand it. But to leave it all in His fatherly hands, sovereign hands, because of Christ my King. Third, does this encounter of an open door of Christ humbles you? Verse 10, fall down before Him. And we see throughout the book of Revelation, chapter 7, 11, 19. A life of giving thanks and living a life of gratitude for who He is and what He has done for you. Casting your crown before the throne, before Him. To learn more and more by grace. It is not about me. It is not about me, but about Him and Him alone. I think that's the whole essence of this entire passage of chapter 4. Lastly, the fundamental question to you and me comes this evening to us. Whom do you worship? Whom do you worship? Your intellect? Young people, college? Parents never went to college. Your intellect, master's degree, maybe even a PhD. Your intellect. Or your business acumen. Do you worship your family? Or do you worship your piety? After all, yeah. Verse 11, we read, you, thou, art worthy, O Lord. How is it in our life, friends? The Roman emperor of that time was greeted with the words, you are worthy. But here, this greeting is directed to King Jesus and Him alone, giving Him the glory and the honor and the power because He created all things, and that is, we owe our entire life to His will. Whom do you worship? Who do you worship? With all that is going on in this world, and maybe in the world of your life, it comes down to this urgent question. Who do you worship? After this, what the Lord graciously and generously has shown us this evening, Himself. Christ who he is, what he has done and still does for such a one as you and I are. And we have seen. He has given us to see. It's not a matter of choice, eh? Or freedom or any other postmodern idea. But this is the living word of the living God. Have given us to see an open door in heaven. Oh friends, how do we need this fresh experience? This fresh experience that the living word of the living God has placed you and me before his throne and the one that sits on the throne. And then this evening, it pleased the Lord, Christ himself, to speak to you, to see you, to shine on you. From his throne, he reveals himself as your King, Jesus Christ, your Savior, your substitute, your glory. Will you not worship him then? Will you not worship him then? And join and sing. And it begins here on earth. And sometimes this is halting, and sometimes this is faltering, and sometimes singing with tears, but then forever and ever, joining the psalmist, we lift up our heads aloft. For God, our shield is over us. Yeah, also over that one who is struggling in our midst. But through him alone, whose presence go before us, we will the victor's crown no more. Do you long for that day? No more by foes assaulted, but we will triumph through our King, and that for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, what a day that will be. To be delivered from self, to be delivered from sin, to be delivered from trials. And testings in life. And to look forward to the day to triumph through our King. And that for Christ's sake. O Lord, lift us up through thy word. Also for the furnace of this night, that we may see this open door time and again, this place of refuge, to be lifted up above the circumstances of life and to find rest at the throne of grace. And so bless thy word to all of us this night, that we truly may leave this place and attest the Lord was in our midst, and we have seen none else than Jesus alone. In whose name we pray. Amen.